answer. Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Come on around back, Arizona, Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the Outdoor Living Hour here at Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition since 1988, and already the fourth Saturday of the month. So we're talking urban farming, and this is a new topic that we haven't covered before, talking about journaling new habits. And Farmer Greg has sent in a couple representatives this week. He's got Janice Norton as general manager of the Urban Farm Nursery and Ray Jess, manager of the Urban Farm General Store, joining us in studio. Good morning. Welcome, Janice.
Good morning.
We've spoke many times by phone and email. I think this is the first time we've had you in studio.
Yes, yes, that's true. I've been behind the scenes more than I've been in front of them lately.
Well, talk a little bit about your background and your role in the urban farm.
Well, I started at the urban farm as an intern, actually. I was a student of Greg's at ASU, and I kind of bugged him to try and get an internship. He reluctantly agreed because I really had to push it. And we clicked. I really had the way of organizing in a manner that fit with his way of coming up with ideas. And after a few years, I became a manager and then eventually the general manager. And I've been running programs for him, and I'm even a partner with him on the Great American Seed Up.
And when you're talking about an internship through ASU, did anything ever come out of ASU, or did you?
Oh, yes. I got a degree in sustainability, which I really thought I was going to be using in a more office or lab space because I'm more of a science geek. But the opportunity to work with Greg happened, and I was sitting at the back of a room working one of his presentations. He and Kari Spencer, I think you know her, were talking about the food systems. And I was sitting at the back, and I was impressed, and I wanted to know more. I hadn't grown anything for myself at that point. And it was actually kind of a dare to take his class in the first point because I needed to just take something to fit the requirements. And after a while, the sustainability part of me ended up being in agriculture instead of systems or science that I thought I was going to go.
Well, I think it's working out for you great, and we appreciate you spending Saturday morning with us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Mr. Ray Jess, you run the Urban Farm General Store. Tell us a little bit about your history.
Oh, my little history is Janice cajoled me into working with the Urban Farm quite a few years ago. We've been friends for quite a while. And part of the reason that she took the sustainability class is she wanted to know more about gardening, which was my specialty. And I do a lot of consult with the Urban Farm. And I've been a master gardener since 2016, did that for about 6 years. Then I did the permaculture design course. And now I'm a sales associate at a local nursery.
Outstanding. And today our topic, if you're following along in your Rosie on the House homeowner handbook, is journaling new habits. And like I said, it's the first time we've really covered this topic. This seems self-explanatory, but that there's always something to learn from the urban farm. So take it away.
Thank you. You know, you would think that this is something that would be self-explanatory, but there are a lot of people that kind of need a little kick in the pants to get started. I myself was one of them. Obviously, I didn't know how to grow anything until I started, hanging around Greg Peterson. But in habits, there are a lot of people that either are afraid of the word habit, or they get into a habit so much that they're maybe a little challenged to change habits. And when you are involved in growing something, one big point is, what happened last month? What did I do? What changed? How do I use information that I thought I was going to remember and didn't? How do we use that? And that's the big point, is how do we make this a habit that's going to help us become better gardeners?
And in journaling that, how often are you going back and reviewing? I mean, like when it comes to planting time, it's like, all right, it's the fall, or coming into spring planting. Do you go back to your spring planting journal and review it, or is it writing it down just designates it to memory?
I will be honest, I had an eidetic memory when I was younger. I had like a photographic memory when I was younger. And as I got older, that disappeared big time. So I used to think that I would remember this. Oh, sure, I'll remember this. I'll remember this at least long enough to get in the house. And I've learned that's no longer the case. So if I'm going to try and remember something, I better write it down. How often do I go back? It depends what we need. If you need to know, you know, when you planted something in the last, you know, how long do you have left before you should be seeing something? Or maybe you planted some peas and they're not popping up yet. You want to just go back and go, wait, how long have these been in the ground? Or you can be looking for something to identify when the last freeze was, or, you know, wait a minute, what time of year did the grasshoppers or the caterpillars show up? There are so many key points of data that we can go back and look for.
And, you know, when you say the caterpillars, you know, there's a lot of insects that aren't on it every year cycle.
Yes.
You know, it might be 4 or 5 or 6 or 7. I've even seen some of those up as long as 18-year cycle.
Yeah.
From when they come out of the desert ground.
Our cicadas, that's correct.
So it's, you know, having that journaling, especially for insects, would be, because, I mean, how when do you remember the last time they came out? You know, is that 15 years or 17 years, or if it's every 18 years, you know, if that's coming up on that 18th year, that's good. That kind of changes the game plan a little bit for the year.
It does. And your memory doesn't generally last that long. And that's why either writing it down on paper, putting it on your computer, or however you choose to put that information stored away, at least that is available for recall.
Recall, exactly. And, you know, I've learned that the further back stuff goes, the more warped my sense of time is. So I may think it was just a year or a month ago, but it turns out it was a few years ago. And if I don't have it written down, it's probably not going to be something that I'm going to be able to recall correctly.
Now, Ray, as the general manager of the Urban Farm General Store, do you guys sell like a Farmer Greg journal notebook that has a layout and it's like, what did you plant? What insects did you see? Where was the sun? And what was the temperature?
That is an incredibly great idea. And I'm sure that Janice will put that information to use, and we'll create that, and it will be available in the near future.
Well, we do have Kari Spencer's journal that we were going to be putting on the general store catalog, but she's sold out. So she's waiting for a new batch, and we're hopefully going to put that. But we've been selling that through the Great American Seed Up website.
Say if it's sold out, that means it's obviously being used. I mean, a journal isn't something that I don't think collects a lot of dust if you're properly utilizing it.
Hopefully.
It depends on how you do it. You know, some people, when I started gardening and journaling, I had a simple calendar that I printed out off my computer. I put down when I watered and when I planted, and that was all the information I needed at that time because I was still new. Over time, that has changed because my needs have changed. But the information is still there. It's available. And how I do it now is a little bit different than that paper on the counter.
I love that he still has those old copies, too.
Now, do you need a different journal or, you know, how do you, if you've got a raised bed garden and in-ground garden, if you've got a garden on the west side in the sun versus one that might be a little more north-facing in a microclimate, and are you journaling separate entries for each microclimate and planter,
you know,
in the yard?
I do want to say something about that. The type of journal is not going to change based on what you're growing, where you're growing, how you're growing. The type of journal that you're going to use is going to be based on the gardener themselves. So if you work better with something that is more of a grid shape calendar, then start with that. If you work better with a checklist, go ahead with that. If you work better with just freehand writing, go ahead with that. It's going to be so determined by what you use when you go back to look for data. So, yeah. Although you can add different things based on what kind of garden you have. For instance, if you have a raised bed garden and or a in the ground garden, you're going to keep different sections for that because your results, your data is going to be different for those sections. And my orchard, that's where I have most of my work. My data is not as daily as raised data, because my data is more of a weekly, monthly, seasonally data, which is really good because I'm a little bit busy. but right.
That's one of the things that I really enjoy about orchards over vegetable gardens is you don't need to quite be out there every single day like you do a well-producing garden.
Well, you and I are working professionals, so we don't have all the time to do that. Ray is luckily retired mostly, and he enjoys it.
But the good thing for me is that primarily most of my gardens are visible right outside my kitchen window.
Yeah.
So I not only see it every day, I go visit it every day. And therefore, I can determine what changes are going on, what the temperature has done, how old a plant is based on what insects are coming to visit.
That takes experience. If you weren't journaling that or if you weren't making note of what you learned, that experience could be lost. That wisdom, that knowledge, it could be lost unless you were writing it down.
That's true.
Yeah.
And do you ever journal your product use? Like if you've got the certain type of insect and, you know, there are different insecticide, pesticides, organic, synthetic, whatever the case may be, that might be designed for a particular type or species of insect. You know, how well did 7 work versus how well did Captain Jack's dead bug brew work?
In general, I only use 2 products, one for caterpillars and one for sucking insects. And I keep those records. And yes, they are very helpful to come back to.
Yeah. You know, I do experiments in my yard, not so much with products. Well, actually, I have with products, but more with what I'm planting. And I like to keep track of it that way. So when I do that, I record it.
Urban Farm Hour, talking about journaling new habits in your garden, landscape, and orchard.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter.
In the Urban Farming Hour, talking about journaling new habits with General Manager of the Urban Farm Nursery, Janice Norton, and the Manager of the Urban Farm General Store, Mr. Ray Jess. Let's talk about where does somebody get started? Or how does somebody get started? Physically, get a pen, get a paper, get started.
Well, one thing I want to caution anybody who hasn't started before is don't judge what you start with. Just start. Just start writing anything down and make notes as you go along because it will be a process that improves over time. And then you can maybe make a list of things that are important to you to talk about or to record, like, you know, planting dates, watering frequency, where you plant something or what you plant.
And on the planting date, I mean, were we recording soil temperature, weather temperature? Do you go sit out there with Old Farmer's Almanac and kind of match that up?
I do. I actually use the Farmer's Almanac quite frequently. But one of the nice things about their website is they do talk about soil temperatures and when to start your seeds or when to transplant. So I do record soil temperature when I'm getting ready to plant. And I also record the frost date and the average daily temperature.
They always have moon phases in there as well. And I've never really followed or along with that. Have you ever played with the moon phase element of their calendar?
Our friend Cecilia Nadelko swears by it. I love her for it, and she's tried to talk me into it, but I don't have the time. I mean, when the moon is in the right phase, I'm never ready. So I think that people who do it and can follow that are probably people that are further along in the journaling aspect than I am. But I think the soil temp is really, really an overlooked element, because if the soil temp is not the right time for the seed, it's going to impact whether or not the seed germinates, especially where people have to deal with the freeze zones. They or have come from an area that has freeze zones. They're expecting things to happen in a different point in the calendar, and we need to refocus our mind to look at the soil temp as opposed to what the calendar says. And as things are changing with our climate, the soil temp is what's going to stay consistent for our plants.
Now let's talk about journaling when it comes to watering, because that can be trickier than you think, especially if you don't have a good feel on how much water your irrigation system's admitting. You know, per the each irrigation head, how long it's on, how much water is going, and even observing the water. Is it running off? Do you have it or it's slow enough where you've got a nice soaking platform. I mean, there's a lot of details to water that could really be beneficial, I think, on dry.
Oh, watering in and of itself is a lesson by itself. We actually teach this in the urban farm in a watering class. But because our plants need water in the soil and they need air, you need to be able to match the two of them. And if you have the right tools, if you have a moisture meter, if you have a soil probe, you can determine whether or not your soil is ready to water or if you've watered enough. So for instance, using a moisture meter will help you determine if the moisture level in the soil has gone down enough to be able to do your next water. And this is usually where you would stick a soil probe, or excuse me, a moisture meter down to about 6-8 inches or in the root zone if you can get it. If you're talking about a tree, then you're just at the top level. And by recording how often that happens, how often does your soil get down low enough to actually need the watering, you're going to start noticing a pattern as to how fast your plants are taking up the water. And if you have the mind to be able to record how long you water, or you know what flow rate you have, it gets a little complicated. And if you're a sciencey, geeky person, you can totally create a spreadsheet on that. But if you don't want to do that, just record how long you ran the hose or how long you ran the irrigation and what the time frame was in between. And I really recommend writing down what the moisture meter said before you watered.
One of the things I'd like to add to that is that it is so important because as the seasons change, so does the watering frequency, but the depth will generally stay about the same.
Exactly. And the plants themselves will change. One plant with big, broad leaves will end up having a different water consumption than a plant with tiny leaves. A plant that has deep roots or is in sandy soil is going to have different consumption with the plant that has shallow roots or is in clay soil. So that's where journaling is going to be having more of an impact on what your results are rather than relying on what a book says.
And the time to harvest, I think, is a great one to make sure you're observing as well. I planted it here. It sprouted here. I got my first
zucchini
bud. Yeah. And then I got to pick it here because that's one thing you learn as well is when to pick it off the vine. You might think it's ripe now, but it's not. And, you know, tracking those dates and maybe even how well you thought the vegetable was after you picked it from day 40 versus day 50.
Well, interestingly, if you're planting from seed, it will generally give you an indicator of how long it will take from planting time to harvest time. But when it comes to fruit or, say, an orange, you know, it may say that they ripen in January and you pull one off, you taste it and you know, okay, it's not ready in January. So I'm going to wait another month and I'll test it then too.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, with my apples trees, when I was first started pulling the apples off, I wasn't exactly happy with what I was getting. And when I journaled or I made a note of when I was happy with them, then I remembered the next year that I could go back and I wasn't going to be picking them off until I knew what I was going to be liking them.
The Urban Farming Hour here at Rosie on the House. More on journaling new habits right after this. Continuing our conversation on this beautiful Arizona Saturday morning about journaling new habits in your urban farm. So far, we've really only talked about journaling as it relates to plants, orchard, vegetable garden. And I know we've got a lot of talking points here, and I'm going off script a little bit because it just hit me as we're coming back. You know, and it's Urban Farming Hour. In the urban farm, we talk a lot about animal husbandry as well, you know, goats and chickens and pollinators. You know, do y'all journal animal activity as well?
Absolutely. You know, journaling it works. People journal for their personal experiences. They journal about business experiences. They journal about animals and what they've done there. So how you're journaling, what you're journaling is very personal.
Yeah. And I think if someone is raising animals, whether that's for as a pet or for personal consumption or however they want to have livestock, the input of what they're putting in to take care of these animals can be critical to make a decision as to whether or not it was worth it. You know, how much are we spending on food? How often are we spending for food? How often are we running into, you know, emergency medicine reasons? What kind of pests are, or you know, livestock dangers do we have? Like, you know, the falcons, the owls, the bobcats, the coyotes, whatever. What have we tried that made our animals happier? What have we tried that the animals didn't like? Journaling any of that will make it an easier process because it helps not just be a resource to go back later to look at. When we write something down, we're using another side of our brain. When we talk about what we've written down, we're using a different section of our brain than what we do when we're just experiencing it. And it can really lock it in. And it'll be something that, you know, if I experience it and I write it down, that's one thing. But then I might tell Ray about what I've done. The next time that comes up, I'm going to remember it a lot better. Even if I don't remember the exact details, I'll remember, oh, I've got that in my journal. I can go back and look for it.
As you're talking through all this, I'm thinking through a personal experience. There was a time where we had goats that we would milk and make cheese out of. Yes. And over that course of time, there's a lot of different things we changed in what we fed the goats, when we milked them, what we did with the milk, how we filtered the milk, how you aged the cheese, add the rennet. There's so many things. If I had kept that journal, you know, now that the kids are getting old enough and starting to move out of the house and I'm back to the point where I can start doing that again, you know, it's almost, I've got to start almost from scratch.
You're reinventing the wheel for yourself. You
know, there'll be, I'm sure, times along the way, like, oh yeah, that's right. That's why we did it that way. That'll spark back a memory, but that's going to take months of trial and error getting back to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty typical for anybody who's restarting a process. And I think that one of the key points is that the more relaxed we are and the less judgmental we are about what we journal, how often we journal, the better the journal entries will end up becoming.
So this isn't something I have to have a daily discipline on.
It depends on the person.
Right.
Journaling is so individual because what is pertinent for me may not be pertinent for somebody else.
You know, and Ray and I, we work so well together because we complement each other in our strengths. He does the vegetable gardening. I do the fruit tree orchards. When it comes time to journaling, you're going to look at our journals and they're going to be very different. He's got, the monthly journal. I've got the weekly, he's got a monthly journal with daily entries. I've got the seasonal journal.
Describe what y'all's journals look like. I mean, I'm picturing a lot of them end up with some soil on them. So they probably have some water spots on them. The pages are all crinkly. I mean, how do you journal at the time of gardening and keep that all neat and clean?
Well, neat and clean isn't always possible when you're journaling. It depends largely upon how you journal. If it's paper and you keep it out on a table where your gardens are and you're writing down as you see something happening, then yes, maybe it'll be a little bit soiled. You know, others, they do whatever they do and then they take it in and they put it on their computer on a spreadsheet. And, you know, they think about things that maybe I could put a website in here that was particularly useful, you know, or, you know, I can take a photo and I can add it to my computer to say exactly this is the bug that I saw. What is it? And then I can reference, you know, when it's supposed to come, what it eats and how I can either keep it going or dispatch it. So.
Yeah. And there's apps out there. I can't even come up with the number of apps that I've seen that are useful for this. And I'm sure there will probably be another two or three by the time I come back and listen to this next year. So
I was wondering about that, because a lot of people, you know, they always have their phone with them. So you're pulling out your phone, putting it in. And was there some kind of tracking app that you could use for that?
I will be honest. Yes, I have seen a couple. I've tried to stay away from the phone because I am so connected to the phone with everything else. I don't want the phone to distract me. So for me, a journaling app on the phone is not a good choice, but that's where it becomes very personalized. I think that my friend Cecilia, she definitely uses the apps on the phone because it helps her recognize the moon cycles and stuff. So she's very in tune with that. Ray's old fashioned, likes the paper. But, you know, you work with technology that's comfortable for you.
I liked the idea of a year calendar on a one sheet, you know, a big poster that you could hang up and write on the day, you know, enough square in the day to put your notes in there and, you know, have your 2014, 15, 16 along your garden shed or, you know.
I'll be honest, I hadn't thought of that. I have a weekly calendar that I use for work. I hadn't thought of an annual, and now I'm thinking, I need that.
Just be able to stand there and look at it. Okay, here's...
And highlight...
March, quick review of March, it's hanging on the wall. All right, let's go.
Yeah, and I think that you'll highlight my expected harvest of different plants. And if I have a full year calendar, that might be quite useful for me.
And how, in your teaching and journaling with other people, like you're saying, Bray, everyone journals a little different, obviously. What they're growing is a little different. Are there any unique ways that you've seen a journal be useful? You're like, I'm going to have to steal that idea.
Well, actually, yes. I have seen a few friends of mine actually use computer spreadsheets, and they put in information about what they've done with the day, you know, what they've seen, what they've experienced. But they also put in, like I talked earlier about, useful websites that for general information, or they can pull up some that are within their USDA growing zone, or again, you know, those things which are pertinent to their local area, because not all YouTube type videos and information is applicable to wherever you live. The other thing I have seen some friends do is they actually take those photos of their plants and use that for identification of whatever the variable is that they're looking for.
Oh, I learned my lesson with that one. You definitely got to be able to know what your plant is. I once had some tobacco show up in my yard, probably from a bird dropping a seed, and I didn't know what it was. But yeah, and I think that the individual skill set can really, if you pull in what you're strong at, you're going to end up having a journal that works better for you.
So how'd you figure out it was tobacco?
Accidentally added it to my salad. It was a trip, literally.
You'll have to share that more during the break. That sounds very interesting. I thought it was gonna be like, oh, some other gardener identified it for me. No, it ended up in the salad. That's awesome. Did that end up in your journal?
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it did.
Excellent. Now, going on for somebody who's brand new, you know, Farmer Greg, if you go back and, you know, go to rosieonthehouse.com, hit the podcast section and type in urban farming, you know, all of Greg's podcasts are going to be organized there. And he has a number of different ones where we really dive deep on soil prep before you're planting, whether it's trees or gardening. You know, there's, you know, his different components to healthy soil, the five elements, the azacomite, worm casting. I know I'm not getting all of the correct nutrient terms in there, but will following those steps, will that vary from area to area based on soil types and harder caliche? And, you know, is tracking that and working with that, or is that a refined enough system? Don't touch it, follow that.
Oh my gosh. On the Urban Farm website.
That's a long question.
Yeah, that was. On the Urban Farm website, there's actually a couple of articles, my journaling, of the experience I had when I first tried to plant in my yard. And it was an experience that tested our friendship big time, because we planted like 12 or 14 trees, and then we had to pull them out the next day when it rained, and we realized it was all clay and caliche. And I actually journaled that, and I turned my journal into a story, because the soil was such a challenge then I journaled what my tests were, what my practice were, you know, what worked, what didn't work. Because I did. I tried a whole bunch of different things to work with the clay caliche soil that I had. And that was actually really beneficial, because taking my notes and putting them into a story format helped me become a better teacher on this particular topic. So yeah, journaling definitely worked on that one.
Were you able to repurpose your planting soil and still plant on back on top of the caliche, or did you guys end up moving all the trees somewhere else?
Actually, what I found is I have a full like sheet of 6 to 10 inches caliche, several inches, like maybe 13 inches to, you know, 2 feet down underneath my soil. And I have really clayey soil on top of that. And the project to fix that was such a huge project that instead of like repurposing the soil, we amended it. I worked with Greg a lot. We brainstormed a lot. And I ended up deciding to basically work my way up instead of, you know, work smarter, not harder. And the problem is the solution. And so I added to the soil, and I built up an orchard instead of trying to totally solve the caliche problem. There's a lot more about that in my story. What did I call that story? The Mud Bath Salon, I think that's what I called it. And the second one was I forgot the next story, but it was a fun story.
Well, that's an interesting solution, building your soil up instead of trying to figure out how to get the root to penetrate down through the caliche. Because you said that's how thick was yours?
I found sections of it that were 6 inches thick, and I found sections of it that I think could have been about 10 to 13 inches thick.
That'd have been a major project for those roots to break
through that. We dug some of it out, and we just couldn't get it all out.
All right, final segment with Urban Farm General Store Manager Ray Jess and Urban Farm Nursery General Manager Janice Norton. All right, final segment with Urban Farm General Store Manager Ray Jess and Urban Farm Nursery General Manager Janice Norton. All right, during the break there, Ray pointed out something to me. I blew over a bullet point on when will the journaling notes be useful for you. And I thought, well, there can't be a lot to talk about there. It's this time next year when you go back to replant this or that. But that's not the only time.
Yeah, when I was talking to Greg about this earlier, we just made some bullet points and he made it one quick one and I started adding to that. I mean, when do you think they'll be useful, Ray?
Oh, for me, it depends on, you know, if I planted something, if I need it right away, if I need it the next week, I said hand. If I need it the same season, because I'm doing a rotation crop of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, or it could be next year, or if I plant that same crop 2 years down the road, I still have that information available to me because it's written down somewhere.
I mean, if you're looking at something that you need to know right now, you've got it there. If you're wanting to look for something that's going to be down the line, you've got. So I'm thinking right now, in the same harvest, next season, the following year, and even maybe following years, like way down the line is what you've got. And it's just information that will be useful for however you type to want to grow fruit or vegetables or animals. So yeah, there's a lot of recall data that you can grab out of your own notes.
Recall data. I like that. And I like the idea of turning a journal into stories. I would imagine if you look for a book, there's probably something that's generated from that. Or if not, there will be at some point somebody takes their journal entries and puts in story form and has a fun coffee tabletop garden book.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think most of what I've journaled, most of what I've experienced in my garden ends up becoming either a journal post on the urban farm, a story that I've written, or into the lessons that we teach.
Now, I know we wanted to kind of re-summarize everything on getting started and not feeling like, you know, that you're not getting graded on your journal. You're not having to produce A+ material here for.
Exactly. I think that we tend to be the worst critics of ourselves. And some of us, myself included, will be so focused on getting it right. We want to make sure we get all the details and make sure we check off all the boxes. And if we just let it go and do what comes to mind, it's going to be more comfortable, it's going to be more fun, and it's going to be more useful because you'll be more likely to continue it.
You know, and for me, when I started journaling, like I said, all I wanted to know was what I planted, when, and when's the last time I watered. That was all that was important to me at that time.
I remember those calendars. You used to have them out on the kitchen table, and you would just jot down, and I was like amazed that you would take the time to write down the watering. When I was first journaling, I wasn't recording the watering, and that was how I was like, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to add that. And then when I was talking to Kari was talking about when she planted something and she would make a little note that this was, you know, 45 days or this was going to be 95 days. And she would write out when she planted it, 95 days from today is, and she would write the date. You know, I think it was Kari that told me about that. And, you know, and then Cecilia talks about the moon cycle. She records the moon cycle in her journal. So whatever excites us is going to be the best thing to put in the journal to make sure that it's actually something we continue.
Now, this may be way out there, but as we're talking about journaling, this application for this kind of came to mind. Depending on where your water supply is coming from, mm-hmm. if you're on SRP, you know, you're getting irrigation, or how close are you to the CAP canal? How far does it have to travel? Because there's chatter between farmers that at different times of year, depending on the rains, the runoffs, the snowpack, what's coming down, can affect how much salt is in the soil. And a lot of this watering a row crop traditional farmer will do is to make sure you're leaching the soil past the root zone of the plant. So they, you know, it's, I don't think any type of that technicality comes down to just a hobby urban farm in our backyard, but talking of journaling and watering and time of the year, that might be something worth noting if depending on your water supply.
Yes, there was a project that Greg and I worked on a few years back where we went up and we were doing a consult on this big, big farm. And the guy that was responsible for doing the planning of the farm, he had a very, very detailed record of when the water was, how often the water was. And I think, and there was so much chemistry involved in his records. I didn't get into that with him, but that would be exactly what they're recording because that's important. Salt here in the desert, it's the make it or break it issue with our plants.
Yeah.
And for me, that watering is make sure that you're watering deep enough to get past the root zone so that as you water, you're flushing that salt away from the roots of. It doesn't matter if it's your vegetables or your trees. It's a depth that is comfortable to get that salt away from the roots.
And it doesn't matter whether you're getting it from SRP or anywhere else. You are going to have salt in our water. Mm. It's what's in the desert. Unless you're bottling water and bringing it in from somewhere else, you're going to have salt in your water.
I'll have to pull back John Owens, but our water quality specialist, he's like, you know, they don't call it the Salt River Valley for no reason. And he had the statistics on how many tons of salt and, you know, what's mined and the process on that on one of our most recent podcasts with him sometime in the last 12 months. I mean, the statistics are astounding.
Oh, as a chemist background, yes, I absolutely agree.
Well, one more time, we have Janice Norton, General Manager of the Urban Farm Nursery. Thanks for joining us this Saturday morning, along with Ray Jess, manager of the Urban Farm General Store next month. In our Urban Farm Hour for Saturday of the month, we're going to be talking about keeping honeybees. Today was all about journaling new habits. If you'd like to catch that again or you came in at the end of it, you can go to rosieonthehouse.com, click on the podcast.
Thank you.
Sweet. That was fun.